The main role of a central bank is to make sure that inflation is neither too high nor too low, so it's predictable, and also to try to ensure that the financial system as a whole is stable and resilient to unexpected shocks.
And that means that central banks all around the world have to meet the same criteria, does it?
I think you'll find that central banks around the world all share the same objectives, yes. Of course, for each one, the objective is defined in terms of their own economy. But they have very similar objectives around the world, and I think that convergence of the role of central banks has increased in the last two decades.
And why is that? Why has that role increased?
I think because of experience, first of high inflation in the 1970s and early 1980s, which took people by surprise. I don't think they necessarily should have been surprised, but we saw the enormous cost of trying to bring inflation down in terms of lost jobs and lost output. That experience convinced people and governments that it was sensible to give the job of trying to control inflation to an independent central bank that was focused on that objective. The experience of the financial crisis in 2007-08 also convinced people that central banks have a major role to play in, first of all, trying to prevent financial crises occurring, and secondly, dealing with them once they have occurred.
And what is the relationship then between reserve banks and the resources sector?
The resources sector can have a very big influence on a country's exchange rate, its standard of living and its growth rate. And in those circumstances, Australia clearly, the United Kingdom when we discovered North Sea oil, the central bank will take into account the impact of developments in resources, both production and prices, in forming its assessment of where the economy is and whether inflation is likely to go up or stay where it is or even go down. And that assessment, which will be therefore influenced by commodities, will affect the judgment of the central bank as to what action it needs to take on interest rates in order to achieve its objective.
Is it not central banks that tend to manage the gold reserves in any given country?
In many countries, it's the central bank. They don't always own the reserves. In some countries, they do, like Germany. In other countries like Britain, we manage the gold reserves on behalf of the United Kingdom. But the interesting aspect of the gold reserves at the Bank of England is that the vast majority of the gold reserves in the vaults of the Bank of England do not belong to the United Kingdom. They belong to other countries or indeed other private holders of gold, and we manage them for them.
I don't know if you remember at the time, there was a furor in Australia when our then Premier... when our then Treasurer sold off 2/3 of the reserves of Australian gold. Is that a strategy that you see around the world? Do central banks continue to sell off those sorts of reserves?
Well, central banks did sell off reserves. I'm not sure that this was necessarily a particularly wise strategy or that it achieved a great deal. And I think they've rather backed away from it now. I mean, not least because selling gold reserves raised the question of who would get the proceeds. And many governments thought, well, actually, we ought to get the proceeds, not the central bank. And that wasn't a comfortable position for the central bank to find itself. So I rather think that issue has gone away now. And certainly the experience of the financial crisis showed that it wasn't just emerging economies that suffered from financial crises and therefore might need reserves to tide them through a difficult time. That could also happen to the most advanced economies in the world. And so I think that if anything, people think that the size of the central bank balance sheet is likely to be larger in future than it was in the past, and that as part of that strategy, perhaps the reserves that should be held, foreign exchange reserves, both in foreign currencies and also in gold, will certainly be no lower in future than they were and possibly higher.
We get some different outlooks on what's going to happen moving forward globally and economically. It's been suggested that perhaps it might work best all round if there was a return to the gold standard. Can I get your point of view on that, please?
So I'm not in favour of that because that would try to mean that countries would have fixed exchange rates. And I think we learned from experience that that simply did not work in a world in which capital can move from one country to another. It is very important to have the safety valve of movements in exchange rates. Otherwise, you see what we see today in the euro area, which is countries can't change their exchange rate. Instead, they try to push down wages and prices. That leads to high unemployment, and it makes the problems of debt in those economies more difficult to manage. What we need is more flexibility in exchange rates, not fixed exchange rates, which would be implied by a return to the gold standard.
And Lord King, before I let you go, this certainly not on the Threadneedle Street here in the gold mining town of Kalgoorlie-Boulder in Western Australia, where the Diggers and Dealers Conference is on. Do you mind if I ask your impressions of my old hometown?
I have been immensely impressed, and I enjoyed it enormously. The extraordinarily wide roads, the beautiful colonnades, the historic streets which have been maintained, give an impression of a place that, gosh, isn't this fun to come here and see it? This is what it was like when the goldfields were opened up. And, of course, the climate is absolutely fantastic. For me, this is the perfect summer's day, and you're trying to tell me that you're in winter here.